This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me through regular mail or through the website. And in addition, the website does contain this program. You can re-listen to it there, and you can pass it on to others from there. And the website also has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as some tracts and other information. So if you need those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we are going to continue looking at Jacob and Esau. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to start at verse 11. Jacob has now deceived his father, who was blind, into giving him the blessing that really belonged to the firstborn, which was Esau. And now we find that Esau hates Jacob, and so Rebekah, who was complicit in all that Jacob did, has encouraged Isaac to send Jacob away to their relatives up in Syria in order to preserve his life and in order to preserve his blessing. And so when we come to Genesis chapter 28, verse 11, we read, "So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and the south. And in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone which he had put at his head and set it up as his pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously, and Bethel simply means house of God. And so he had found that place to be an important place. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. I'm repeating that for emphasis. And he called the name of that place House of God, or Bethel. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. As we go through this section, it's quite clear that Jacob had wanted the birthright, and Esau had despised it. And we read in Hebrews that when Esau realized he had despised his birthright, he was not able to obtain it, though he sought it carefully with tears. And I would guess that his seeking it carefully with tears was what we have read about in the last chapter, when he realized that his father had been deceived into giving that blessing which belonged to the firstborn to Jacob. He was upset at that point. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes we don't realize how important our spiritual blessings are. Jacob wanted that blessing. Esau was hungry when he came in from the field, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of vegetable stew. And sometimes we sell ourselves for very little in this life. We sell ourselves to Satan for a little pleasure, or for friends that are really not our friends at all. And we don't realize how short time is and how long eternity is. We don't realize that eternal values are more important than temporal values. And it's easy for us as younger people to lose the years that could be most productive for the Lord by selling out for drugs and for immorality and for a licentious lifestyle, much like the prodigal son did in Luke's gospel. We can sell out for just the equivalent of a bowl of vegetable stew. So we need to really consider what we are doing when we make decisions that affect us in our relationship with God, because God does hear what we say. Now, having said that, it turns out that Jacob deceived his father to get the blessing of the firstborn in Genesis 27, the last chapter. And part of the reason he was able to do that is because there was confusion in the home. And we could probably spend some time on godly homes and what a godly home is like based on this chapter. But this chapter, or Genesis 27, the previous chapter, would actually be a case study in what not to do. It seemed that that Jacob was favored by Rebekah. Esau was favored by the father, Isaac. And there was competition set up in the home because of that. They weren't cooperating. And we know logically that there should never be one child should never be favored over another. And yet, in that system, that social system of that day, it always appeared that the firstborn was favored. And the firstborn became the leader of the tribe when the father died, and there was a double portion of the inheritance given to the firstborn. And I have to admit that because I am not a firstborn and I had a father that I feel really did favor our firstborn, I think I understand Jacob, and I could find myself resenting the system of that day. But it was God's system, and if you fit into the system properly, I can see that you would have your function and the firstborn would have his function, and there's probably an awfully lot of time when those who were born after the firstborn would say, I'm sure glad I'm not the firstborn with the responsibilities that he has. It would be like being president of the United States, and while we tell our children that you can be anything you want to be, you can even be president of the United States, most of us, when we look at our lives, would have to admit that we're glad we don't have the responsibilities that go with being president of the United States. We'd much rather criticize him from our armchairs than we would actually have to do the job that he does. And so I'm glad, and I can honestly say that I'm glad that I was never given the responsibility of running a country. And I'm glad that I was never given the responsibility of leading a tribe in the day that Abraham lived in. So there may have been some reason for competitiveness, but on the other hand, when we fit into the organizational chart that God sets up, there's usually blessing associated with that. And even in the New Testament, we're told to submit one to another because we each have gifts and we each have functions. It seems that Rebecca wanted Jacob to have the blessing of the firstborn. And Isaac wanted Esau to have the blessing of the firstborn. God would have given the blessing to Esau if Esau had not despised it. And yet we have seen that the firstborn is not the person that usually receives the blessing, because the firstborn pictures the flesh, and it's the person who is born of the Spirit that pleases God. So you could say, well, God never intended Esau to have that blessing. In a natural way, I think he would have. In a spiritual way, we have another picture altogether, and so we need to keep that in mind. But notice that because there was tension in the home, hatred was set up between these brothers. And it's interesting that we usually think that there's hatred between ethnic groups that don't understand each other, but in the Bible, the hatred in the book of Genesis is between brothers. There's a Cain who hates Abel. They decide to serve God differently. Abel is the one who serves God by faith, and Cain is the one who serves God his own way and serves him by the flesh. And Cain hates Abel and thinks that if he destroys Abel, he's able to destroy I suppose he thinks he's going to be able to destroy the blessing that went to Abel. But nevertheless, when we come here now, we see that Jacob and Esau have enmity between them, and so Jacob has to flee from his brother. And as he flees from his brother, he goes back to Abraham's relatives, because neither Isaac nor Rebecca are real happy with the fact that Esau has taken wives from the tribes in the land, and the people in the land again would picture unbelievers. But the thing that's interesting about this passage is that when Jacob leaves and begins to make his trek up to Haran, we find out that he has a personal encounter with God. He comes to a certain place, he lays down on a stony pillow, and he gets a vision. Now, he either gets a vision or he sees something that really happens and has the spirit world opened up to him. But it appears that this is a dream or a vision. And it may be a vision of reality is what I'm saying. But the point is, God speaks to him. And it is interesting that, in my mind, this is a picture of what we have when Nicodemus comes to the Lord by night and says, "We know you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." And he has an encounter with the Lord. He finds out he doesn't understand who the Lord is, and then enters into the blessing of God's Messiah, when he realizes that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, Jacob knew about God in an academic way. He knew that he had blessed his father and his father's father, Abraham and Isaac. He knew that. But now he has to come to a personal understanding of who the Lord is. And he does that in this passage. And I believe that when the Bible says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," when the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," that salvation, that deliverance from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin, that new life that comes with a new birth, is a necessity for each one of us. It's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to have an encounter with God. And so as we look at this passage, it appears that this was Jacob's encounter with God, and the blessing that he is able to enjoy is promised to him here. And so as we look at this blessing, we need an encounter with God where we understand who he is as well. And I trust that each of us have had that encounter where, in a personal way, we no longer are serving the God of our family or the God of our friends, but we're serving the Lord himself, who has revealed himself through the scripture and through circumstances, and has asked us to trust him that we might have our sins forgiven. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened and upon the program. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit ourselves and our audience to you. We commit them to you for blessing in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.